Chapter 9, Part 6, page 91. I want to remind everybody, if you would like to, you could grab a Rock the City invitation card. We have these available, as well as, I believe, we have door knockers. Alan, could you grab this for me? We have some door knockers. Are you sitting on the front row? Dear Lord, woman, it's so good to have you here today. So I want to remind you to grab those. Rock the City is like really soon. Is everybody ready for that? Yeah. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Saturday, we have our Outreach Saturday.
Outreach Saturday is this Saturday, so make sure you're here. What time?
11 a.m. at Thorn Street Park.
11 a.m. at Thorn Street Park, and you're going to be handing out invitations and door knockers. And y'all, we got tons of them. I think we got, how many thousands do we have? 4,000?
We
have 4,000 of these. They're gone. That's good. Somebody just grabbed some, and they're heading out to the streets right now. So it's exciting. Randall, you're in class? Oh, that's right. How many of you are going to be part of Pastor Cody's class next week on, I don't know what it's on. Character. It's going to be really good. Rich, are you going? Nah! Okay, we want to talk about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. This is, of course, one of my favorite chapters, as well as all the other ones. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Everybody shout, time to grow up. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms are there? How many baptisms are there? Three. What are they? Fire, water, Holy Spirit. Wow, that dude, he listens. That's really good. This is the one we're going to cover tonight, the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. How many resurrections are there? Four resurrections. What are they? Jesus? Church? Rapture? Old Testament saints? And the unsaved. Come on now, that was really good. And then the last one is eternal judgments. What? How many judgments are there? Can you say it in Spanish? Dos. Very good. Brother Chico Hernandez was here with us this week. Hallelujah. Been playing practice in Spanish all week long. So two judgments. What are they? Bema seat, which is for whom? Saved. What are they judged for? Words and works. Very good. The last one is? White throne judgments for what's how many books are there? Two books. Dos. The first book is the book of works. The second one is the book of the Lamb's book of life. Very good. Their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. So what happens to them? Cast into the lake of fire. Very good. Give yourselves a hand clap. That was really, really good. So the next foundation we want to get into is the laying on of hands. And this is powerful. And I want to remind you that this is elementary. Turn to somebody and say, this is elementary school. We've created something in the body of Christ that is bad. And that is that we have separated the clergy from the pew. And I want to remind you that in the time when Jesus Christ was on the earth and then when the church was launched, everybody was a minister. Turn to someone and say, you're a minister. Tell somebody else, you're a minister. Can you grab me a water? Turn to somebody else, say, you're a minister. I got to do it until everybody does it. You're a minister. If you don't want to move on, we just stay right here. You're a minister. Tell somebody, you're a minister. Listen, I'm not going anywhere unless everybody in this room does this to somebody. Shout, I'm a minister. See, that's getting better, isn't it? Come on now, it's working, it's working, it's working. Every single believer is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the guys that you pay that are the ministers. Everybody is a minister. And this is where it's so important, because what happened when Constantine came into rule, he made Christianity like the religion of the nation. And what ended up happening was the papal was risen. What's the papal? That is where we find the priesthood was risen up. And what they did was they separated the body of Christ, and they did the separation between the papal, or the priests, and the people. And what ended up happening was the priest would end up telling the people, you're not smart enough to read the Bible. You can't figure out spiritual things. And they actually extracted the Bible from the people. Now, I want to show you what that did. That was the dandelion. The real problem that occurred, oh, grab a seat, move it somewhere. The real problem that occurred was this, was the fact that they then, through this process, dislocated all the ministers except for those that were standing behind the pulpit. So they took the gospel and they threw it away. And what has to happen is, if you don't believe you're a minister, then you're just going to think your life is, well, que sera, sera, it's whatever I want it to be. But every one of us in this room are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're a minister, only the things that are done for Christ are going to last. And if we're a minister and we're doing it in the flesh, then nothing is going to last for eternity. For all those things that are done in the flesh are going to be burned up. Remember we talked about the judgments? Remember it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 about the bema seat of Christ? That all of our works will be burned up, and if they're wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be thrown away. What happens is, if you're not doing the ministry, everybody shout, I'm a minister. Tell somebody else you're a minister. If you're not doing the ministry in the anointing, then it is wasted. It is good works. It is doing nice things. But it will accomplish nothing supernatural, nothing eternal. So this is why this is elementary school. Because until you understand this, your life does not take on the full meaning and the purpose that God has planned for it. And so we all have to understand, I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I must work in the anointing of God to see God's stuff accomplished, not my stuff. There are a lot of nice people out here. There are a lot of nice people that go to church. But nice people don't go to heaven, number one. You got to be saved by the blood of Jesus. Niceness doesn't do it. And number two, every one of us are called and purposed, and if we don't live within that, then we have no fruit. What does the book of John chapter 15 say if you have no fruit? Okay, now, what does John chapter 15 say if you have no fruit? It's very simple. He cuts you off, throws you in a fire, and you are gone. Everybody say, that's a little uncomfortable. That's right. That means you're supposed to produce fruit, not temporary fruit, but eternal fruit. And God's gifts and blessings are without repentance. So every one of us have been given gifts and talents, and our responsibility is to use those gifts and talents, but not just to use them, to use them, because there are a lot of nice people doing a lot of nice things that have no eternal impact. You and I have been called as sons and daughters of God to have not just nice things in our pocket, but eternal impact. Without the eternal impact, then we're just doing nice things. God hasn't called us to do that. He's called us to bring change. So we must do it in what's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody shout, the anointing.
The anointing.
Tell somebody, I'm anointed. First thing we got to do is understand what that means. We sing about it. We pray about it, we ask God for it, but we have no clue what it is. So what is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to teach you a nice little thing. Ready? It's called the perpetual, everybody shout perpetual. Propulsion of the power of God. Say it with me now. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. One more time. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. What's perpetual mean? Ongoing, it never ends. What's propulsion mean? Pastor Chad, come here. Perpetual, ready? Propulsion is I'm taking this Bible and I'm propelling it, moving it, throwing it to Chad. Hit propel it back. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. That is what the anointing is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. On Sunday morning, we laid hands on everybody. Wasn't that exciting? I had so much fun. Do you realize in first service, almost 500 people, we laid hands on everybody in 6 minutes. What a miracle. Wow. It was awesome. I remember laying hands on a young lady. I don't even know. I don't remember her name. She's been to church a few months. And I laid hands on her, released the hunger of God. And she went just like this. And I said, you felt him, didn't you? She went, I said, he's real, isn't he? So I said, here comes another dose of the Spirit. And I released the anointing, and she wouldn't close her eyes. And she walked off. Let me tell you, you can go to church your whole life and never experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Paul made this declaration, I don't come to you with great words of wisdom, but I come to you under the power and the demonstration. Everybody shout demonstration. Demonstration. Power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. And this is what has happened in the body of Christ. We have gotten away from the anointing. We have gotten away from the power of God because we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I'm here to make you uncomfortable. I'm here to make sure that the gospel isn't so watered down because we don't want to offend anybody. Listen, the anointing should offend you. If you're in sin, you should feel conviction. If you're sick, the anointing will heal you. If you're in bondage, the anointing will set you free. A man came up to me, and you might be in the room tonight, I don't remember who you were, but came up to me and he said, I've been smoking cigarettes many years. 2 weeks ago when Brother Teddy stood up there and made a declaration, he laid hands on him. He said, I walked away, have not had a cigarette, and have not even had a desire for a cigarette. That's called deliverance. That doesn't just happen. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit setting a person free. The anointing is that power of God, that the energy of heaven being released so that somebody will be touched by heaven, that their faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man. What do you mean the wisdom of man? I can give you a gospel. Listen, I can stand up here and preach, and I can do it quietly. So tonight we're going to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing is a very strong thing for you. And I want you to understand that the anointing, you know, is good for you. And the anointing will make you feel good, and the anointing will help people. The anointing is something that we should all desire. And today, as we're gathered together, that anointing can touch you.
Get back where you were.
Yeah, go back.
Go back.
Bring the pastor back.
But you know what? You can have the anointing doing that. One of the greatest sermons ever preached was called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. It was in New England. And he stood up and he read his sermon. No voice inflection at all. And the anointing was so strong, sinners were jumping out of the second story balcony to get to the altar. What matters is that there is a demonstration of the power of God in the body of Christ. That means God needs to evidence that he is alive and real. Now, you know, you can come to church and never experience the literal power of heaven. Now, you see, I just felt the anointing. And things just happened spiritually. Some of you have no clue of. In fact, there's an individual here. God's going to touch you right now. in Jesus' name. He's going to give you your very first touch of the real presence of God. What happens is this, is that when there's an evidence, you can't deny it. I can give you words of wisdom. I can give you words even of gospel. But where there is no tangible evidence in your life, where there is no manifestation of God in your life, it's easy to debate it out. That young lady I laid hands on, even on Sunday, she will never be able to doubt that God touched her that day. That's the difference. Some of you in this room have never felt the presence of God. You have never felt the power of God. Never. Therefore, your salvation is based more on man's wisdom and religion than the power of God touching you to where you can never deny the presence of Jesus. When you get touched by God, it will never be the same in your life. In fact, the hell of it is this. You can backslide, but you'll never forget when God touched you supernaturally. It will haunt you in your sleep. Why? Because you can't deny it. Because he's real. And the anointing is real and powerful. This enables a normal man to do work on behalf of God. It is that supernatural manifestation that comes out of you. I remember I was praying for a young lady in northern Maine. She had crossed eyes and diabetes. It was in Rockland, Maine. Walked over, laid my hands on her in the name of Jesus. I commanded her eyes to come uncrossed and the diabetes to leave her body. She walked out with her eyes crossed, and I don't have a clue about her diabetes at that point. She got up the next morning, went and looked in the mirror, and her eyes were uncrossed. She went and took her blood, did a test, and her blood was normal. She's freaking out. Wouldn't you freak out? Went to the hospital, went to her doctor, and had everything tested, dealing with diabetes, and they declared her healed. Or I should say, they didn't ever declare you healed. In remission, whatever you want to call it. But they couldn't deny her uncrossed eyes. There was a man up in Utica who was dying of a terminal heart disease. He came in the prayer line. I felt the anointing come on me. I walked over and I said, what do you want? He says, I need a new heart. I says, great, God's going to give you a brand new heart. He's not going to renovate your heart. He's going to give you a new one. I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Michael, not in the name of church, not in the name of religion. The anointing is released in the name of Jesus. I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus and released a brand new heart. I said, now go back to the doctor and get it validated. He went back to the doctor. It took 2 to 3 days to get him off his medication. They went in to look at his heart. They went up through his groin, the artery. And the doctor came out. He was a Jewish doctor, came out, looked at the wife and said, there's nothing we can do. She thought he died. And he goes, no, I'm sorry. You're misunderstanding. He has a new heart. I don't understand it. It makes no sense at all. But it's not a heart that it was his. There are no scars. There are no problems. He has a complete new heart. And that's doctor validated. My wife last year healed of cancer. You can say whatever you want to say. I got doctor proof and I got paper proof. There is an absolute miracle. No way the cancer could be gone in 7 days. Not one treatment. How is that possible? How is it possible that God can take somebody who's lived for hell for so many years, come on them, bring conviction on them, godly sorrow stirred, they come to the altar, they ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, and then their whole life is transformed. And what they used to be known for, you can't even fathom that they ever lived that life. How does that happen? That's the anointing. We must have the anointing. Yes. Are you raising your hand? Okay. We must have the anointing. And in the body of Christ, you must have the anointing. Why? Because elementary says that you're to lay hands on the sick. Well, that's your job. No! Turn to somebody and say, you're a minister. Tell somebody else, you're a minister. The anointing is the ability that God gives you. Turn to somebody and say, that's me. The anointing is the ability that God gives you to work on his behalf. So that's the great part about God. He doesn't have a plan B. You're his plan. You're it. God does not have a plan B. You're his plan. You're the plan to release the anointing of Jesus on this planet. You're the one that God has called to heal the sick. You're the one that God has called to cast out devils. You're the one that God has called to make a difference on this planet, not naturally, but supernaturally. There is no other plan. You're it. That's why when you got saved, you didn't die. Turn to someone and say, that's a good thing. If you were saved just to go to heaven, then the moment you got saved, you die. But you got saved because you've got purpose and you've got destiny. God's got a plan for your life, and your plan is not for you to have a big house. Your plan is not for you to have nice cars and 6,000 children and a crop in the field. The plan of God is that you're on this planet at this exact time of history, at this exact moment, in this exact location, because God has certain people that you and you only, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can bring change and reality of God to. And that's why you're here. When your purpose is over, there's no need for you to be here anymore. And so the anointing is imperative. Yes. Yes, ask a question.
Why is it that some people are, there's healings and then there's miracles?
Why is it that there's some that there's healings and some are miracles?
So you, yes, you just gave an example of
a healing and a miracle.
How many people do we know that are afflicted with cancer and somebody has a hand and nothing?
The reality is that many people die before their time, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we've taken communion, if you read that whole communion statement, it says this: and there are many sick, many weak, and many have died because of their lack of understanding. Most churches do not preach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. They preach to get saved. Well, glory to God. We all want to get saved. Who wants to go to hell? It's a good thing to go to heaven. But the gospel is not just going to heaven. The blood and the body. The blood of Jesus washes away every sin. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The blood and the body cannot be separated. Blood represents forgiveness. Body represents healing. Those are two parts, blood and body. And then the last is poverty. Jesus paid for three things on the cross of Christ. He paid for sins, he paid for sickness and disease, and he paid for poverty. Those are three things, if you're in the covenant, that you do not have to remain in. Will sickness come on you? Absolutely. Does it have the right to remain on you? Absolutely not. But because the body of Christ is no longer teaching the whole gospel, there are many believers who believe in salvation but do not believe in healing. I was just talking to some doctors just recently, and they said, well, if healing is absolutely the plan of God, then why are we needed? I said, because how many people aren't serving Jesus? Their only hope is the doctor. How many believers are in churches that no longer preach that healing is part of the covenant? Oh, my goodness, it's the majority of the kingdom. In fact, we're the only church in this whole region right now that preaches it's always God's will to heal.
Yes. Yeah.
Sad, isn't it? Should be every church, because that's the whole gospel. And poverty does not belong in your life. Yes. Yep, I like questions. They're good for you. Put your hair on your chest. Sorry. I'm sorry. So if a person that has cancer is not healed, is that because that person didn't believe? Honestly, usually. And it's not that they didn't want to believe. They're not taught. In this church, we teach it. Man, when I get to the healing chapter, we're 3 to 4 weeks. Why? Because it's not taught. Many times I've got to teach out the crap that was taught in. When you gird a tree, what happens to the tree? Does it die immediately? Leaves are still on there, right? They're still green. The bark is still on there, right? It's still green. But the moment you gird a tree, what happens to it? It's dead. It might take some time to manifest, but it's dead. Why? Because you can't gird a tree and not kill it. You can't curse sickness in the name of Jesus and it not die. But many people have not been taught, so they keep it. Well, actually, there are churches that teach it's God's will to make you sick so you learn some spiritual lesson. So here we have a body of Christ that's not taught. This is why this class, give yourself a hand clap. This class and you being here says you're brilliant. You're brilliant because you don't want to remain ignorant. You don't want to remain dumb. There are two types of ignorance. There's the ignorance where you just don't know, and that's really the majority of the body of Christ. They just don't know. You only teach what you know. You only live what you know. The second type of ignorance is willful ignorance. You have the ability, the capability to learn, but you choose to remain ignorant. That type of person will always live a hellish life. Why? Because the ability to rectify is sitting in front of them, but they choose to remain dumb and not learn. That is the body of Christ. I can tell you it's a lot of His Tabernacle Family Church, because this should be packed out with 300 people. And there are people that will die in this church, not because it's God's will, but because they've never sat in a class to learn how to get healed. My mother has a question. Hi, Ma. How are you tonight? You're back from Northern Maine. It was a good trip. Yes, there are many things that can keep you from getting healed. Unforgiveness is definitely one of them. A lot of times, though, and listen, I don't have time to go into this, so I'm just going to tell you, grab this book. Ready? Christ the Healer. You writing that down? Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. If you don't have any money, it means you've eaten your seed. That's beyond that. That's a whole nother lesson. If you have no money, it's free. Go to YouTube, type in Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth, and they'll read it to you. Free is a good price. But if you were squawking that you had no money when I said that, it means you've eaten your seed. You eat your seed, you have no harvest. You have no harvest, it means you've eaten what you should have planted. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon. Oh, Jesus. Woo! Okay, here we go. The anointing is the supernatural ability, not the natural ability. Now, this is another issue we have in the body of Christ. Many people in the church no longer believe in the supernatural in church. Oh, we believe in it in the world. 1-900 psychic worth $2 billion a year. This is just a little quiz. How many of you have ever gone to a psychic? Some of you just lied. You have, and you didn't want to raise your hand. That's all right. You went to a psychic, and it works, doesn't it?
I don't believe in them.
Oh, you know what? You have to believe in them because they're real, and they work. Everybody who has gone to a psychic in the room, you need to turn away from that and ask God to forgive you for allowing a demon to manifest in your life.
I didn't realize
that. No, most people don't, and that's the whole thing. Again, churches don't teach. In this house, we teach you. Amen? You see, the world believes in the supernatural. Reiki healing is on the uprise in our area like we've never seen it before. What's Reiki healing? Watch. Reiki healing was created by a Buddhist priest in China, and the principles of Reiki healing is laying hands and releasing energy. Watch. The counterfeit of the anointing. Just a little hint for all of you. If you go get a massage, ask them first if they do a Reiki healing when you're doing massage. You don't let anybody lay hands on you.
Right.
Be blown away how many of your masseuses are laying hands on you and releasing spirits into your life.
Right.
Well, I don't believe in spirits. You can be as dumb as you want. You don't believe in spirits? Let me take you on a trip real quick to Africa. Let me take you on a trip real quick to Mexico. Let's let the Mayan God manifest in front of you and show you you don't believe as they rip your head off your body. Listen now, the church has slid away from the truth. And the truth is that the supernatural is more real than the natural. What you cannot see is more real than what you can see. And the body of Christ doesn't want to offend people. They don't want to drive people out of their church. They want everyone to feel fuzzy and beautiful. The demons don't care about fuzzy and beautiful. Their job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the more ignorant you are about your authority, the more ignorant you are about spiritual principles, the more ignorant you are about the supernatural, the more ignorant you are as a believer about the anointing, you're a sitting duck. And you've got to learn how to stand in the authority in the name of Jesus, not in your name, but in the name of Christ, in the anointing of the Spirit will drive every devil out. Now, listen, I don't know if you've ever seen a demon manifest, but the first time you see somebody manifest a demonic spirit, you can say you don't believe it all you want, but the first time you see it, there ain't no denying. Mom, remember that one in Fitchburg? 4'11" girl dropped down to the ground in the middle of a worship service. The pipes started ringing off the, boom! Pipes just started rattling through that whole place. She bled this blood-curdling scream out. Her name is Tina. Dropped to the ground, started slithering up the aisle, just like a snake. No hands, no feet, just slithering up the aisle. These big old brawly men ran over to her, and she went just like this. Through those boys like they're little tossed toys. You can say you don't understand, but let me tell you, if you've ever needed the anointing, it's right now. You've ever needed the power of God, it's right now. You've ever needed to really start understanding supernatural principles as a believer, it's right now. Now is the time. So, it's not by what you and I can do. You can't counsel out a devil. You all know that, right? You can't medicate out a devil.
What do you mean, Pastor?
There was a woman who came up to Jesus. She was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up. She would have what we would call osteoporosis at that point in time. Bent over, couldn't raise up. Years and years and years. What did Jesus do? He said, he cast a spirit of infirmity out of her. Which means it wasn't osteoporosis, which means you couldn't medicate it out of her, which means you couldn't help her because it was a demon spirit. Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity off of her and she immediately stood straight up. American demons are different from other places. In America right now, demons hide in American churches. Mainly because none of the body of Christ is taught about demons. Oh, we're going to teach you about that. This is not even what I kind of diverted off the topic. I don't know whose fault that is, but I'm going to blame somebody. I'll blame my mother. But here we are, if the body of Christ doesn't understand how to move in the anointing, the devils aren't afraid of you. Listen, they're not afraid of you even if you use the name of Jesus. All scriptural proof. Here we go. Book of Acts. Seven sons of Sceva. They watched Paul cast out devils. So they found this dude that was demon possessed. And they walked up to him and said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. Watch this. The demon spoke through the man. The demons spoke through the man and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And that one demon whooped all seven brothers, stripped them butt naked, and sent them running home to mama. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? You see, it's the anointing that puts the fear into the demonic spirits. It's the anointing that changes a life from the inside out. It's the anointing that sets somebody who's in bondage free. There's a young man in our church. I'm not dropping his name simply because I need to ask him before I did that. Addicted to heroin. And God set him free. I've watched men who 20-year alcoholic. I'm not talking like a beer after work. I'm talking like the big jug. No, he actually wasn't sun up to sundown. More sundown. But, yeah, I mean, he was the walking drunk. Delivered, not a DT. I prayed for a man in Providence, Rhode Island. We were doing street ministry. I walked up to him. He was a drunk, lived on the streets. You could smell him before you got to him. Walked up to him. I said, "You know something, sir? Jesus wants to set you free right now." And he goes, "I've heard the religion before." I said, "You don't need to hear any more religion. Let me show you what he's going to do. You're going to be sober here in about 10 seconds, and you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." He says, "I haven't been sober in years." I said, "In Jesus' name, I command right now the alcohol in your body to dry up, and I command you to come to your perfect senses right now in Jesus' name." Boom, he was completely clean. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he was in church the next day, and his life was changed forever. Wow. That has nothing to do with me. I can't heal the wing of a fly. But the anointing that dwells inside of you can do everything that heaven needs to be. In fact, Jesus said, "Greater works will you do because I go to the Father." What did Jesus do? He raised the dead. Had a man say to me once, "Oh, I don't believe in the raising of the dead anymore." I says, "Have you ever prayed for somebody?" He goes, "No." I said, "Then don't worry about it. You'll never see a dead man raised." I pray for dead people all every time I get a chance. Why? I want to see a dead man raise up. I had a close one, but he wasn't fully dead. I love the fact that God's supernatural power is ready to be released. That is what's going to change somebody, not your religion. Church doesn't change somebody. Jesus changes somebody. Religion doesn't change anybody. It's when the power of God touches you, and you can't deny it, that your life is transformed forever. And that's what our passion is at this house. That's why we spend our time in praise and worship on a Sunday morning. That's why the pastors walk around and lay hands on people. That's why we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts. That's why people are healed and people are set free. And that's why when somebody's saved, it's not just, "Boy, that's nice. You did a good thing." No, we want to lay hands on them and make sure that his spirit bears witness with their spirit that they're a child of God. We believe absolutely in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. And we'll never be ashamed of the supernatural gift that God has given us. And he launched the church with in Acts chapter 2. You see, all of this is rack and pinion on the anointing. And so the anointing is a major part of your life. I'm going to show you how major it is in just a second and how you can't run from it. Now, it's interesting in the old. Oh, let me read this verse. I love this verse. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He said this. And the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel was this: "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So nothing eternal can be accomplished outside of the anointing. Now, in the Old Testament, it was different. In the Old Testament, the only ones who moved in the anointing were three groups of people: the kings, the priests, and the prophets. So unlike today, I mean, right now, literally, you could experience God right in this room. You could have the anointing released in your life and God could supernaturally touch your life. In the Old Covenant, it wasn't that way. The only ones who experienced the anointing were the priests, the prophets, and the kings. That's it. The people didn't experience that. It wasn't available to them. And today, the great part about Jesus, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, says that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. What is that? Is that when Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was rent in two. The moment that happened was, it wasn't just the kings, the priests, and the prophets who then had the right to step into the presence of God. It was now literally all those who would call upon the name of the Lord. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. When you get saved, there is a supernatural transition to where you can be in his presence. That's the anointing. And today, there is no greater high on this life than being in the anointing. And the more you experience the anointing, the more you crave the anointing. So I got to keep teaching. Here we go. If you want to know about those, the kings, the prophet, and the priest, that is found on page 92 and 93. What's really interesting is there's one other. Now, what the Old Testament saints, when they experienced the anointing came upon them. And I said, what do you mean? He said, she's laughing all day long. She's so happy. I've not seen her this happy since she was a drunk. He said, what did you do to her? And man, it changed his life. It changed the family's life. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was so powerful. Are we on or not on? We are on. So I can turn this off. So the anointing is tangible. What my wife saw was a puddle on the floor. And anybody who stepped in that puddle of that anointing either went out in the spirit, went down in the spirit, or started laughing in the spirit. In 1995, I started my evangelistic trek, and I was down in Georgia, Warner Robins, Georgia. I preached that night. It was at, I think it's an Air Force, whatever. So I'm at this place, and I'm preaching at this Assemblies of God church. And I go down to start praying for people, and my wife said, "You see it?" And I said, she says, "It's right there." And I said, "If you need healing, I want you to step right up here." And these two ladies with, they were older ladies, mature ladies, they had amazing arthritis. One lady, she could hardly move. She said any limb she moved was painful. And I said, well, you're in the anointing. And I reached down in the spirit and I splashed her with that anointing. And she just took off dancing all over that church. She was completely healed. There was a man there who was blind. I called him. I said, why don't you stand right here? And I prayed for his blind eye. And immediately his blind eye opened. Now, for those who have never seen that before, that's been seen in this church many times. Deaf ears open, blind eyes open. People getting out of wheelchairs. See it right here. Well, how is that possible? Because the anointing, the ability to do work on heaven's behalf is right here. And the exciting part is the tangible anointing, the transferable anointing, when you understand this, you recognize that you're just not the walking weak, but you're the walking power. That wherever you are, the anointing abides. Listen, I don't want to jump ahead. So here we go. Let's jump on over to Every Believer is Anointed, page 95. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing. Shout, I'm anointed.
Anointed.
How many of you are born again? Shout, amen.
Amen.
Then you have the anointing. Amen. Why? How can you be anointed if you're a believer? Who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. You become the temple of the... Okay, now stay with me now. When you get born again, you go from death to life, darkness to light. You were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but now you're alive in Christ. Whoa, hallelujah. Alive in Christ. What does that mean? That means that the moment you accept Jesus, your spirit man who was dead has now come alive. How? Because God's Holy Spirit now literally, not figuratively, comes in and possesses you. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means he resides inside of you. Remember, you're a trichotomous being. You're a spirit. Shout, I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit.
Who has a soul that lives in a body.
Body.
This is not you. This is what you look like. Physically, you're alive, but this is not you. The you is your spirit. Everybody on this planet is a spirit. Every human being is a spirit. You will live for eternity in heaven or the lake of fire. You're eternal. Every human is eternal. And every human also has a soul, their intellect, their emotions, and their will. There's a need to recognize that you and I, as believers, when we get saved, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Old covenant, the anointing came upon. New covenant, the anointing resides within.
Amen.
Let me say it one more time.
Amen.
In the old covenant, the anointing came upon. But in the new covenant, we read the verse, Hebrews 8, verse 6, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. The anointing dwells within. So if you could raise the dead in the old covenant when the anointing came upon, what can you do in the New Testament when the anointing resides within? Amen. See, this is where the body of Christ has been emasculated. This is where the body of Christ has become neutered. We walk around like we're potent, but we're actually impotent. Why is there impotence in the body of Christ? Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So when the body of Christ does not understand the anointing, they're walking around like they're powerful, but they're actually impotent, because the only things that are going to last are those that are done for Christ. That means it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, not because you got a little Christian tag. So when you and I understand the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we understand the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. We understand the energy that flows from the Holy Spirit who dwells. You're not weak, but you're strong. There's nothing you can't do. I can do all things through Christ. How does he strengthen you? Inside out. Everybody's waiting for him to come down. He's in. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in there. Well, how is that? He's in. That's why sin is so powerful. When you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a believer. Every time you sin, you're taking him with. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful good and powerful bad. And this is where the devil hopes that you remain as dumb as possible, as ignorant as possible. Because when the believers understand their authority and understand there's power, when they understand how to release the anointing, how to increase the anointing, when they understand how to move in the power of God, then what happens is this, is that miracles start to occur. Signs and wonders start to show up. And all of a sudden, we now have captivated, not through 1-900-PSYCHIC, but through the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus that changes, not the name of all the other gods that are on this planet. You don't need to go to a Reiki healer. They're only releasing demons on you. How do I know that's true? Study it. They tell you what they believe. I remember when I was preaching on that. I preached on that about a year and a half ago. We had Reiki healers show up here, man. They were so mad. We don't believe that. I said, well, you listen, you're a master Reiki healer. You better figure this out. And we've had two or three of them already converted. We had a Wiccan priest, high priest, who did their weddings, converted. Why is that? Because they were moving in power, but there's only two powers. The power of Jesus Christ and the power of the demonic. There is no in-between power. You and I don't have power. If somebody has power, they're getting it from somewhere. And if it isn't Jesus... Oh, but I just thank the Lord for this gift. What God are you thanking? Come on now, we watch it on TV. Those nice little psychic shows. They're real. Because a demon can tell you your past or your present. Man, don't be playing with those nasty things. You need to get into the anointing of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide you. For these are the children of God who are led by the psychics. Oh, is that right? Oh, these are the children of God who are led by 1-900-PSYCHIC. These are the children of God who are led by fortune tellers. These are the children of... No, the Bible says actually that in the Old Covenant, they stoned them to death. They were an abomination before the Lord because they're counterfeit. But many of the people of the world go to counterfeits because the church is neutered. So it's time for you and I to learn how to move in the power of God. Well, that's your job. That's our job. If I was never a pastor, it would still be my job. My job's to teach you. But I do because of who I am in Christ, not because I have a title. Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. You know, there's nothing more fun than walking up to somebody who's sick, laying hands on them, and see them get healed. It's really a blast. My son, when he was in Bible school down in Florida, one of the prerequisites for graduating was he had to have a notable miracle. They had to lead 100 people to Jesus in 1 year. 120. 150? 120 the first year, 150 the second year? Wow, dear Lord. That was the prerequisite of graduating. And then they had to have a notable miracle. Did you have a notable miracle? Did you have a notable miracle? What was yours? 7-year-old boy on the streets in Tampa had never heard before. He laid hands on him and his ears opened for the very first time, was able to hear. What was yours? You remember? You're old.
No, I don't.
How about the witchcraft one in Africa?
I mean, we saw four completely blind people.
Four completely blind people in the villages of Africa be able to see for the very first time in their entire life. Two of them were witch doctors that got converted to Jesus. Miracles are normal. When you don't see miracles, that's abnormal. When you don't see the supernatural power of God released, it's abnormal. You need to get that in your spirit. It's abnormal when you come to the house of God and you don't feel the presence of God. It's abnormal when the gifts of the Spirit are not active in the church. It's abnormal, 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 not normal. It's abnormal when God isn't using you. It's abnormal. It's out of order. But you don't know what you don't, you can't teach what you don't know. So I... Did I turn it off? I know you are, honey. Listen, don't be embarrassed. We're all staring at you. It's no big deal. We love you. We love you, honey. As your pastor, my goal is not to get you to need me. My goal is to teach you not to need me.
Amen.
A pastor that teaches you to need them is a pastor that has a low self-esteem and shouldn't be in the ministry. The purpose and the job of the pastor is simply found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And it says, to equip you for the work of the ministry, to bring you into unity and to bring you into maturity. My job is to put the tools in your hand so that you'll go out and do the signs and wonders. You'll go out and reach them for Jesus, not bring them here for me to do it. I got to do my own. I screwed up yesterday. No, I don't eat salad anymore. It gives me horrible gas. But I was at Sugar and Spice with Brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico and Cuba. And I was with Brother Chico, and a man was leaving, and he was on crutches. You know, the metal ones that wrap in his arms that go around the... And he's walking out. I said, sir... have a great day. And he goes, thank you. I said, you all right? He goes, nothing but a little MS won't do to you. Should have prayed for him. He walked out that door, and I said, you dummy. That could have been his moment of complete deliverance. Because inside of me, just like inside of you, turn to someone and say, inside of you, is the power to heal the sick. So when we don't pray for them, can they be healed?
No.
Who loses?
You couldn't have prayed for him after he was...
He had already left. I kicked myself in the butt like 10 times. You never know. I pray for people out on the street and God heals them. It works. I should have chased them down with my car, run them over 3 times. I'm going to end with this. Ready? Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, I read the verse already, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. How do you know all things? The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you will confirm the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but you have an anointing which you have received from him. Abides. Everybody shout, abides.
Abides.
Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
You are absolutely anointed. How come you're anointed? Because the anointing abides, dwells, never leaves inside of you. I remember when I was teaching people up in Newfield how to lay hands on the sick. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to start laying hands on yourself. I want you to lay hands on your cats and your dogs, on your children. I want you to lay hands on anything that moves in your house. As I was teaching them how to release the anointing. And I remember this one lady, she comes here every once in a while. She lives in lower Pennsylvania. She pops in. Her name is Rusty. So Rusty's in church, comes to church that Sunday, and she said, Pastor, it works. And I said, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. She said, I had a migraine headache for days, and it felt like my skull was going to split in two. She said, I'd taken all the drugs, I'd done everything that I should have, you know, to take care of it, and nothing was working. She said, but I remembered, I was driving down the street, and I remembered what you said, the anointing abides within me. So she said, I lay hands on my own head in the name of Jesus and commanded it to leave, and it did. She said, it really works. Well, of course it worked. Where does the anointing abide? Inside of you. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed.
I'm possessed.
You are. That's what the Bible says. You're possessed. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell?
Inside
of you. Do you think the devil came up with possession? No. He's a counterfeiter. Right now, you have enough power within you to raise a dead person. That anointing. You have enough anointing within you to cast out a devil. You have enough anointing inside of you to find somebody that's sick, lay hands on them, and God will recover. That's in you. Can you imagine if you actually get this? And it's not just a theory or a thought, but you actually believe what God's word says about you? You're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. I just need 10 of you to believe it. I got 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, Jesus only needed 12 to turn the world upside right. What would happen to this region if we had just 10 of you who actually believe what the word is preaching? Oh, I'm not preaching it to you. I mean, honestly, this is the Bible. I don't care what you think. You can tell me, say I'm out of my gourd. You can tell me I'm crazy. You can say, well, you know, I don't believe in it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You're not fighting against me. You're fighting against the Bible because I'm just giving you verses. And if you don't like the verses, that's your problem, not my problem. It doesn't change who God is or what he does. It doesn't change anything. If you notice, the school systems aren't fixing it. Homes don't seem to be fixing it. More crime than we've ever seen before. And the church sits back and goes, well, we'll pray for you. Weak, pathetic church. It's time for the church, and that's why we do what we do here. You know, this month we're spending $100,000. We spent $65,000 on Uproar, which changed kids' lives. Do you realize how many of those kids have never been touched by the Holy Spirit that were literally laid out on a floor at the arena? They had the psychic lady down there, and we took over. Glory to God. Time for the Holy Ghost to show up at the arena. That those teenagers were changed. You know why we're doing, do you know why we're doing Rock the City?
Well, because we're nice people.
Do you know why we're giving away things and doing fireworks?
Because we want everyone to know who his tabernacle is.
No. Listen, you don't get this. If that was true, I would cancel it, keep the money, and put it in my pocket, which some of you thought I did. That's the rumors that go around. Pastor keeps it all. I'm not even allowed to make my own salary. That is determined by a trustee board governed by the IRS. I'm not even allowed in the room when they determine my salary. The reason we do these things is because somebody who comes to those fireworks which will cost us $5,000. They'll come to those fireworks. They will never come to me preaching on the pulpit. But they'll come to those fireworks, and what they think, they're just coming with their kids to see fireworks. But 10 minutes before those fireworks go off, Pastor Chad's going to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And all of a sudden, just where they are, man, they might be in a backslidden condition. They might have been brought up in some religion. They might have never believed in God before, but all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, and that's what we're praying for, that the anointing is going to descend upon everyone who's in the hearing of the voice of the preacher, and that God can change. Listen, when the gospel is preached, the anointing is released. When the anointing is released, it changes lives. Miracles, signs, and wonders can happen as he's preaching those 10 minutes. That's the only reason that we're doing fireworks. They think they're coming for fireworks in the air. We're asking for fireworks in their spirit.
Yes.
Why are we giving away a cruise? Because we're nice people. No. You catch fish different ways. We have people in this church today. Amen? People in this church today because we caught fish last year. And they're doing God. They're serving the Lord. Right, baby? Serving the Lord. That's you too? Who came because of last year's park? You came? Amen. I know Marcia came. Oh, dude, I know you came too. That's awesome. Just in this room. This is not even a fifth of our church.
I came from Texas.
You came from Texas. And he actually did. He came from Texas to come here. He found a beautiful young lady too. Isn't that? That's a great deal, dude. Well, if you didn't follow God from Texas, you'd be down there. I'm just excited that if you actually get what we're doing here, this has nothing to do with growing a big church, although it has everything to do with growing a big church. Because every person deserves to go to heaven. That's the plan of God. That's right. And I don't care what kind of bait we got to use. We're going to use whatever kind of bait we got that will be gospel-oriented to where we can preach the gospel and somebody can give their heart to Jesus. And I pray that you understand why we do what we do here. You know, we're not into shows. I got to be careful how much I speak. We're not into shows. I don't care if you like me or dislike me. I don't care if people know me or don't know me. You just need to know this. It is far stinking more uncomfortable than you could ever imagine realizing how many people know who my wife and I are. It is not enjoyable. It is not enjoyable to go to a restaurant and have people stare at you. It's not enjoyable to have people chase you down at the mall. It's not enjoyable to know that somebody who you just cut off stared in your eyes and they know that you're supposed to be a preacher. You can't fight with your wife in public. I can't slap her hiney, although I do sometimes in public. I have got to behave myself. When you lose anonymity, it is not like, Yahoo, he's a star. Listen, the one thing you realize is that everything my wife and I do for the kingdom is because we want not only you saved, but your family saved and this region saved. And I don't care how we have to do it. Let's get it done. Jesus is coming. And he's coming real soon. So it's time to stop playing games. Get powerful. Amen? Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
And I'm a minister
of
the gospel of Christ.
And
the more you learn how to move in that anointing, man, work's going to be more fun. You're going to have a great time at family reunions. Amen. It's going to be awesome.